Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcast, the first podcast of the new year. We're going to engage a little bit on the political front in a new way. We're going to talk about sloppy Steve Bannon, a child named Trump, the 25th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, and other popular delusions in Winter Meltup, podcast 691. Well, I did a lot of business stuff this week and kind of neglected podcasting for a little while because I was working on a lot of business stuff. And so I want to share with you a company that I'm working with, a new company I'm working with at the Bob Davis Podcast. I'm actually pretty excited about it. This is the Great Payment Processor Relia Fund. So this is a message for people who have businesses, small businesses, who do business through their websites, or if you need payment processing in the back office. So that, I mean, I liken it to this. Getting paid faster means better cash flow for me. So, you know, if you're like me and you want to get paid faster, Relia Fund can really help. Also, if you are a developer and you develop websites for clients that do e-commerce, this is also a message for you. So what is Relia Fund? It's a payment processor, and they've been providing integrated solutions to get payments cleared for more than two decades. If you're developing an e-commerce website, if you have back office issues, the thing is, there's a couple great things about Relia Fund. First of all, you're going to talk to an actual human being, and developers, you know, would be pretty pleased to hear this because a lot of my developer friends find out when they try to contact payment processors, they don't deal with a person. Well, you deal with people at Relia Fund. So when you call them at 866-243-5040, you're going to talk to Greg Lowry or Kevin Hill. They're going to help you. They work with clients. They have no long-term contracts. They are secure. They have apps. They can help you. Check out Relia Fund. .com. They're a great payment processor, or call them at 866-243-5040, and I'll tell you more about Relia Fund in 2018. So I hear a lot of people say, where can I get the Bob Davis podcasts? And I just want to quickly let people know we are syndicated to a lot of different websites and podcast aggregators. You can also use apps like Podbean and Podcatcher that you put in the Bob Davis Podcast's URL, and it will subscribe to the RSS feed and pull your podcast for you. I know there's a podcast app on Chrome as well. Also, iTunes has a podcast app, but you can also get the Bob Davis Podcast at Stitcher.com. Tune in. You can subscribe to the Bob Davis Podcast right off the page at the Bob Davis Podcast. But let's see, iTunes, of course, blogtalkradio.com, Spreaker.com, Google Play, and others. I do appreciate the likes and the shares and the favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter, and I do appreciate the donations for mobile podcast command at thebobdavispodcast.com. Well, I actually thought that I could sit down and talk about this without organizing my thoughts. Got up this morning, was drinking my coffee, and I thought, I'm going to go down and do a podcast, and rapidly figured out that that was not going to work. Engaging on the political front is not easy these days, and part of the reason is that the so-called political right will not allow anyone to criticize the president, and the so-called political left doesn't allow anyone to defend the president, and you're forced into one position or the other, and no one wants to hear anything that contradicts with their ideas about the world, and it's a real problem. We're living in a time of delusion in this country and perhaps in the world. No one really has applied this term to the social and political world. Usually it is applied in terms of the financial markets, but as any experienced investor is going to tell you, delusions that affect markets are usually also political and social delusions, and they're generally obscured until the final phase is the so-called melt-up of market manias. I have often heard people ask, what's going on these days? Why are people so crazy? The question is applied to the way things quote-unquote are. And it's been hard to answer the question because as soon as you try to start answering the question, you are confronted with a thicket of these ideas, which really, you know, even the most reasonable person is somewhat delusional about this stuff, in my opinion. After the holidays and a short break from podcasting, you know, I did some other business stuff. And I decided to return to the news world, scanning and reading. And of course, immediately it was like, being shoved into a cold pond. I have come to the conclusion that we are either in the middle of or nearing the beginning of a mania, which is usually the end of a delusion, a panic. And you see it in various spots. Now, we usually associate these terms with markets, the tulip mania, the Mississippi scheme, the South Sea bubble. But what about non-financial manias like the alchemists, mesmerizers, the crusades and prophets and the witch craze and all kinds of people over the years who have become very popular predicting the future, whether it's the end times or anything else. So there are all kinds of non-financial manias. I think a lot of them are essentially associated ultimately with financial manias, but there are quite a few of these delusions in history. It's kind of a normal thing in human history. And of course, we do have modern day examples. Obviously, 1929, the market crash, and most recently, the real estate bubble and financial collapse of 2008. Most of the time, we focus on the stock market crash or we focus on the collapse of 2008 in terms of real estate. We don't focus on the run up or the quote unquote melt up to the final end of those manias. In all these cases, social and financial, a kind of mania or mass delusion defined the time. And you couldn't tell when you were in it unless you paid attention to the signals. And you have to know the signals to believe that you're in a mania. And of course, being in a mania is like being in a storm. So it's kind of hard to tell at what point you are in the storm until the storm is over. A good example is you probably all remember back in the early 2000s when everybody, including the pizza guy and the yard man, were basically flipping houses. In the late 20s, just before the stock market crash, everybody was buying stocks on margin. You hear that, you read it in the histories, and you don't have a palpable sense of what it felt like to live in society at that time. These were manias in the financial market, and I think what we are now experiencing, and it may be tied to the financial markets, I don't know, but I think we're experiencing a political and social mania. It is not the media's fault. It is really not anyone's fault per se. But it is happening. So very quickly on the financial front, we're starting to see analysts warn that the stock market might be beginning a melt-up phase and warning that bull markets like this don't end quietly. They end when everyone is sucked in and there's no one left to buy, and they end, you know, for market violently. Now, if that's true, the effects of a melt-up are not limited to the financial world. The psychological effects of a melt-up are felt nationwide and, you know, by extension, because the United States is an important country, probably worldwide. Jeffrey Grantham is one of the people talking about this. I'll put a link up to his blog. You can read it for yourself. David Stockman and other people, some of whom are viewed as crazy, others who are viewed as being pretty reasonable. People are talking about this melt-up phase now. And I wouldn't presume to tell anybody what's going to happen in the market. I don't know enough about it, but I do watch social and political trends, and I think I'm qualified to say that I think people have lost their minds and that we are in a form of delusion, or basically the early phases of a mass delusion or panic, at least when it comes to politics and society. So here's some thoughts on this. First of all, in a delusion, you have to stick to the basics to keep your head. And I'll give you an example. During the First Crusade, which was a mania, people were exhorted to head east to take back the Holy Land, and people abandoned their farms, gave them to the church, headed east and answered this call, quote unquote, to wrest Jerusalem from the hands of the Eastern suzerains. Let's just put it that way. There was no strategy, no analysis on the ground or of the ground, no military plan, and no real leadership. Hundreds of thousands of people, a giant mob, if not millions of people, perished in this movement to the east. And there were many victims from violence that had virtually nothing to do with the Holy Land. For example, many, many Jews at this time were murdered in Eastern Europe because of this crowd, this mob that was headed east to Jerusalem. It had nothing to do with the Holy Land. So, you know, that's an example of people in a mania really not planning or thinking, just rushing forward. Success, you know, in the First Crusade was literally by accident. Same with all the other manias. When you apply reason and thought to the problem, and it's difficult, a wise person can see through the BS to get to the truth. Convincing people of the truth, then, is almost, if not completely, impossible. Successive crusades were led by military personnel and nobles with real armies, for example, who actually thought about strategies and figured out what they were doing and why they were doing it. But that didn't make it any less of a delusion until the intensity of the delusion kind of finally ran its course. And this is what happens with mass delusions. It runs its course, some final event takes place, and the scales fall from people's eyes, and they turn away. Now, you guys know that when I start talking about the weather, you know I'm going to talk about Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for Home or Business. Guess what happened to me at the stroke of midnight on New Year's Day? So we were counting down the new year, and my son and I smelled this weird smell, and I was like, what is that smell? And we started to look around. Well, the furnace had quit, and I talked to somebody the other day who is at one of these big furnace companies, and they said that over the holidays, they put in 12 to 15, something like 12 or 15 furnaces across the metro because people do not get their heating checked. Now, it's going to get warm, so by the time you hear this podcast, it's probably 30, you know, degrees, and then it's going to freeze again. This is what causes issues with furnace, water heaters, pipes, and everything else. And when it comes to keeping all these systems running right, whether it's home or at work, your business, in other words, when you have plumbing or heating problems, you want reliable service, and that means Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Customers of Ryan get first dibs on the service. Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, you call 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, call 612-927-6488. You know they go back four generations. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. If you are a journeyman plumber, Ryan is looking for help because they are expanding. I know that a lot of guys downtown who are working in the trade have basically been told that all construction has to stop because of the Super Bowl in Minneapolis. So give Ryan Plumbing and Heating a call if you're a journeyman plumber as well. 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Ryan Plumbing and Heating at ryanplumbing.com. Now, getting back to delusions, I got to tell you, I just read an article about how Trump in the new year is going to start discussing trade protection. He is a big fan of trade protection. Now, it's no secret that Republicans generally have been free traders, so this is a sea change in the philosophy of the current party in control of the government. So if you're one of these businesses that is doing manufacturing in other parts of the world, you may be thinking about hedging your bets to address this. And you may be thinking about bringing back some of the manufacturing to the United States. If you are thinking about reshoring, if you're in the decision chain for a company that is considering reshoring, let me tell you about Depot Star, American manufacturing right here in Minnesota. Depot Star, D-E-P-O-T, Depot Star, at DepotStar.com, design, engineering, and manufacturing. Get a quote from DepotStar.com, and you will be surprised. Visit their website at DepotStar.com. So if you read a lot and you see a lot online, you see that most of what is written and said politically these days is stemming from delusional thinking. Certain political figures either back up delusional thinking by repeating the essence of the delusion through interviews, Twitter, and social media, or by statements, and do so with full knowledge of what they are doing. And you can see this through history. And certain leaders, whether they are elected or not, people considered thought leaders, let's say, repeat the same essence of the delusion because they are actually as deluded as well. And some of these people are very intelligent people. They're very good writers. They're very strong persuaders. In this kind of an atmosphere, anything written or said becomes a furtherance for the delusion. So you can write an article attacking the delusion and it will be grist for the mill. It doesn't matter whether you do it on Twitter or in a blog or a podcast or you're on TV or on the radio. If you argue with the delusion, it will strengthen the delusion itself. Isn't that kind of the way things are right now? And there are many of these delusions right now, in effect, all adding up to one big delusion. And here's my little list, and some of these are going to hurt, and they'll hurt both sides. So, you know, some are, you know, directed to the right and some are directed to the left. And here's my quick little list. The economy is booming and Trump has fixed it. Donald J. Trump is a transformational political figure and a genius that people just don't understand. Masses of disenfranchised, disaffected white workers put Trump in the White House. We're at full employment and Trump did it. Trump and his administration have colluded with the Russians to make him president. Conservatives have won. They have their. This is the end of history. Conservatives have won. Trump is the most conservative president we've had since Reagan. On the other side, Trump is an idiot and a child. Trump can be removed with the 25th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Anything and everything the Republican Congress and President Trump does will end in disaster, and it could happen at any time. We're going to have a big war with North Korea. We're going to have a big war with Iran. We're going to have a big war in the Middle East. We're already in the end times. The tribulation is in effect. Now, let me talk about some of these, if you can stand it. I hear the economy is booming from quote-unquote conservatives all the time. If I've heard it once, I've heard it 100 times, and most of the time I just ignore it. This is the cornerstone of the justification of why the Republican candidate is better than the Democrat candidate in 2016, because he is going to put into effect the so-called supply-side, conservative economic principles, and he's already made the economy boom. The first justification for this is the markets. They'll say, look at the stock market. It's 25,000 and going up and things are going to be great. So the most recent reports in the present time frame show not a robust economy in the United States, but a modest 2.3% GDP figure for 2017. We are told we have reached peak employment. And of course, Trump did this too. But remember back during the Obama administration, the conservative discussion of how unemployment statistics are calculated by conducting household surveys and employment numbers include all part-time and temporary positions. The fact is that real unemployment in the United States up until December 2017 is about 8%, not the 4.1% touted by the media. And if you don't look up the numbers or understand how the numbers are compiled, then you don't understand what is going on in this country in terms of employment and the economy. Is Donald Trump a transformational figure with a political genius and a so-called Jungian connection to the people, meaning that he has somehow dialed into the collective consciousness of the American worker and, by extension, the American voter? Well, if you listen to the polling analysis I did during the 2016 election and the election night coverage from November of 2016, and I will put links to those up, you'll find out that President Trump actually won a narrow electoral victory. That is, he managed a solid victory in Ohio, a marginal victory in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, and slightly better margins in some of the other key states like Georgia, for example. Given his campaign and, the president himself, they've turned this into a landslide, which is not what happened. But I give the campaign and Trump credit because what happened was the Democratic Party nominated a weak candidate who refused to campaign in parts of the country that they needed to win, like Michigan, for example, and failed to get Democratic voters to show up for her. Since the Electoral College appoints U.S. presidents, in this country, Donald Trump is the president. And again, his campaign deserves the credit or blame. One of the delusions is that he's an illegitimate president. That's nonsense. But the margins of his victory do not make him a transitional figure or a political genius. Candidates for all kinds of offices in the last few years, as I have been telling you, have been battling to losses or victories based on 1 and 2% margins, the most recent being Democrat victories in the Virginia gubernatorial race and the special election in Alabama. There's nothing transformational, unusual, or different about any of these races that a Republican or Democrat could have won. Even in Alabama, today's white, high school-only, disaffected voters whom Trump is so famously channeling are really nothing more than the suburban soccer moms Barack Obama seemed to be able to channel back in 2008. Trump has not fixed everything. His two biggest accomplishments as president in the past year are the amendment to the 1987 Tax Reform Act, just recently passed and just taking effect this month, and the successful appointment of a so-called conservative judge to the Supreme Court. He does not have a long list of accomplishments. For Republicans who screamed and yelled because Barack Obama was, quote, abusing executive orders and governing this way rather than the proper and constitutional method of working with a Republican Congress, the sudden celebration of Trump's use of the same tool to quote-unquote fix what Obama did is absurd. Have his executive orders on pipelines and eliminating regulations and so forth affected the economy? I think some of them are good, other people don't, but the probable implications economically are nominal, and that's something to crow about for Republicans, but the economy is still only growing at about 2.3%. It's not booming as the delusion calls for. And while the new president has certainly made some changes, we're really still living through the tailings of the previous administration's economic policy, at least and especially as it pertains to the Federal Reserve. Trump's most significant and politically important legislative development is still the tax bill. We're not yet in the so-called Trump economy. So, no, he hasn't fixed everything. It's a delusion to think that he has been able to push all these buttons and make all these things happen. Now, this does not mean the economy isn't going to grow. It doesn't mean that things might be great in a year. But saying he's done this and that right now is delusional when we're only in the first year of the Trump presidency. Is Trump an idiot and a child, as a new book alleges? Is Steve Bannon suddenly turning against the president? Will the president be removed from office because he's been slurring his words and acting weird? Well, you know, one of the other big delusions out there is either the president being impeached or removed from office through the 25th Amendment. What is the 25th Amendment? It was passed after the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And what it does is it provides a constitutional framework for the succession of office should the president die or be incapacitated. Now, I'm not going to read the whole amendment, but basically I'm just going to say the initial paragraphs of the 25th Amendment outline what happens if the president is dead. Later paragraphs, and these are the ones that people are interested in, include a procedure for temporarily removing the president if he is, quote unquote, incapacitated. It basically says that if the vice president and a majority of either the principal officers of the executive departments or other such body as Congress may by law provide, transmit to the president pro temp of the Senate and the Speaker of the House of Representatives their written declaration that the president is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office, the vice president shall immediately assume the powers and duties of the office as acting president. Thereafter, the president can take office again as soon as he transmits his written declaration that no inability exists. Then it becomes a constitutional fight between Congress and the president and the vice president and the cabinet and so forth. And it would be a huge constitutional crisis. Thereafter, Congress has to decide the issue. They have to assemble within 48 hours for this purpose, if not in session, and then within 21 days after receipt of some written declaration that the president is able to serve again, they have to decide and so forth. I don't want to get into the long-term amendment. I'll put up a link and you can read it yourself. The idea that a majority of the cabinet appointed by the president would vote to remove him because of incapacitation and that a Congress of the same party would vote to maintain the removal despite all successive hoops necessary is absurd. A delusion delusion that seems to be favored by certain members of the left. Could it happen? I'm not going to say it wouldn't happen. I think it's unlikely because, let me just put it this way. The idea that the cabinet would vote to destroy their political futures because they basically remove a man from office who appointed them because they quote-unquote thought he was incapacitated is equally absurd. And the fact is that more than likely the vice president or the chief of staff or the first lady would assume the duties of the presidency quietly. It certainly happened before. Woodrow Wilson was incapacitated and his wife assumed his duties for some time, which was not something the rest of the country knew about. In fact, it wasn't something almost anyone knew in the government. Franklin Roosevelt, by the way, was in and out. He had a terrible heart condition and during World War II, and his cabinet and advisors continued his work. He was barely able to campaign. He was advised not to in 1944. Of course, he won that race and was dead by April of 1945. So President Roosevelt was hardly robust and quote unquote competent in the last few months of his office. In fact, he died down in Georgia resting. What of the recent Michael Wolff book that everybody's talking about, Fire and Fury and Steve Bannon and the controversy and everything else? I think it's all part of the delusion. Trump allowed this writer, this quote-unquote journalist, access to the White House in the early stages. Wolff is being castigated because he said whatever it took to get access, which I have done many times myself. This is how you get the story if you want to get the story. And the guy sat on a couch in the hallway and wrote down everything that he heard that people said in front of him. You know, is it the gospel of what actually happened? I don't know. It's good reading. It's well written. It serves this delusion, whether it's positive or negative, right? But it's Trump's fault for allowing that level of access, whether he talked to him, didn't talk to him, denied it, it happened or didn't happen. Apparently, nobody noticed that this guy was sitting on a couch in the hallway writing down and watching what everyone was doing. All of this is part of the delusion, which seems to be gathering steam into a mania. So the bottom line is, why is this happening? And I think part of it is this. Since the 1960s, the U.S. dollar has lost much of its value through inflation. The debt of the United States, in addition, has grown to massive proportions. And without going into detail with this stuff, the asset class, this is the people who own stock and bonds and property, account for much of the increase in average growth in this country. Why? Because they own assets. Versus the so-called middle-class salaried worker, whether white or blue. These people have fallen behind because they rely on debt and transfer payments and salary work to make it. Even so, assets are not what they used to be worth simply because of inflation, because the dollar value has been inflated. Look at the growth in terms of blockchain currencies, so-called cyber currencies, this movement into gold and silver and land and real assets, so to speak. And yet the stock market continues to suck people in, and there's evidence of continued growth that will do yet more sucking. The idea is that during a melt-up phase, you want to invest. You just have to know when to get out. Meanwhile, we're being drowned in a series of stories about a dysfunctional White House, the North Koreans' adamant opinions about the former Democratic candidate for president and her political foundation. And I think the discussion about investigating the Clinton Foundation is probably warranted. And rumor after rumor, all unsubstantiated so far, of the president's quote-unquote collusion with the Russians and how it's treason and so on. We will have to see where this investigation leads. Some people on the right don't like it. Some people on the left don't like it. But, you know, the fact is we don't know the answer to any of these questions. We're living in a delusion. The only antidote is to try and break all this stuff down and deal with the facts we know and what we don't know and what we don't know that we don't know. Am I deluded? Are you deluded? Well, That's an answer you're going to have to come up with on your own. Now, I could have done a podcast churning over the latest nonsense about Steve Bannon and Michael Wolff and things that you see on Facebook that people seem to want to talk about, the political junkies that want to just fight over every little scrap from, a broken and bloody body. Bottom line is Steve Bannon was a fool when he barged into the public eye as a part of the Trump campaign. He remains a fool, and he will be a fool long after the dust settles, regardless of his alleged political abilities. But I think it is better to simply pose the question and to have listeners and subscribers to the Bob Davis podcast pose this question to themselves. We ought to be asking ourselves this every day. Are we living in a delusion? And I don't mean, you know, a religious delusion. I don't mean a delusion like you hear about on YouTube of the Illuminati and things of that nature. I mean a delusion that is driven by a certain growth in the markets, driven by certain ideas that, people just kind of get plugged into stuff and they follow the trend. And then resistance to the delusion and support of the delusion furthers the delusion. And if we are in a delusion, then I would just simply submit that it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. And finally, what will change it is there will be a significant signal event which will cause people to turn away from it. They'll see it only in the aftermath. It certainly happened before. There's no way to prevent it from happening. And I would say a word to the wise. Rather than take a position, think very carefully and watch what is going on. And don't take a position. And don't look for information that confirms your points of view. Just watch and see what happens. Don't forget, with the freezing and the thawing, you can have plumbing or heating problems. You want reliable service, whether it's at home or your business. Think Ryan Plumbing in St. Paul, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488 online at ryanplumbing.com. And if you're a small business and you're looking at plans to improve your payment processing for 2018, here's the number for that payment processor I told you about at the beginning of the podcast, ReliaFund at ReliaFund.com, R-E-L-I-A, ReliaFund.com, 866-243-5040, 866-243-5040. Ask for Kevin Hill or Greg Lowry at ReliaFund and check them out online at ReliaFund.com. Thanks for listening to podcast 691, Delusions and Mania. Happy New Year.
Pump up the jam, pump it up while your feet are stumping. And the jam is pumping. Look ahead, the crowd is jumping. Pump it up a little more. Get the party going on the dance floor. See, 'cause that's where the party's at. And you find out if you do that.